So one of the key things is you cannot create a solution in the problem space. When you have a problem space, it's the space that has the information that holds the problem. The solution space is another one. I found this out really rather personally a couple of years ago when one of my colleagues was going on, "You've got bad posture, you've got bad posture. I'm going to take you and work with you and get a physiotherapist." And so I have from all my life. And so they worked for several hours trying to get me to, you know, stand up straight and put my shoulders forward, back, and et cetera, et cetera. And it never happened. No matter what, it always just, I could never do it. And then after a period of time, one of them said, "Well, look, just..." I defined more of what the problem was, and said, "Well, I'm going to correct your posture." And in that moment, I realized I could never be corrected in the same space that I was defining the problem. And I said, no, don't ask me that question. Ask me, is there a space that knows about correcting the posture? So I said that, and nothing happened. So she said the questions back, and in that moment, my shoes, because I didn't have anything to do with this, because I was staying right here, because I've had it this long, and the only experience was my shoes pulled me back across the room, and then I stopped. And then she adjusted my posture, and it stayed for the first time. It was quite an amazing experience, and it's pretty much stayed. I didn't believe it myself, so I kept going to chiropractor just to check that it was true. And now the interesting thing is, when I sit down, I slump forward like I always have, because that was never the problem defined of standing up to sitting down. So the problem space is not the solution space. So how can we discover where that solution space is that's going to be very different from the problem space? Now, of course, in the context, let's say in a therapeutic context, you know, the client comes and sits down in the same chair. You discuss the problem. And as long as they keep doing that every week, you are going to get even greater riches that increase the problem domain. And then every solution that's put in challenges the problem domain to be even have a greater ability to come up with problems that will, in fact, outwit the solutions that you've tried to put in there. And of course, the more you do that, then that encourages the complexity of the inherent problems in there to be even cleverer at being able to sabotage the solutions. So why fight, you know, in that territory? In chaos theory, the initial starting conditions are really prime. So what happens, you get a little puff of wind in Hong Kong, and then that creates a little eddy, and then the heat rises from the buildings, and that creates another swirl, you know, until eventually, you know, a hurricane forms on the other side of the Pacific. So that's the notion, that the sensitive and little starting conditions create this iterative element, which then has far greater power than what you input. So in this sense, we want to create starting conditions just a little tiny starting condition that will actually create its own energy of form that drives a system towards a solution. So if we have a starting condition which starts with the person here at A, when we are going to create questions which will keep the problem state bounded. So we need to look for information that will actually create the emergence from out of their view of the problem that unfolded out to a starting space, to a space that's likely to provide solutions, that then with enough of these will then create a solution that is a system solution that lies outside of the system rather than one which is going to encourage the problem space to come up with even more ways of creating the ability to hinder a solution. So the support for a good solution which fits all the way around is likely to be outside in a D space somewhere. So the notion of our clean coaching then is, as a facilitator, where can we be in a facilitator space so that we can listen to that information and we can then ask questions to the goal space, to the journey space, and to the space around where the A person is that will then encourage this new information and to create a self-solving solution. If we ask to the A with a you question in it, then we will get more of the same. Now, one of the sort of classics is what I call the tyranny of the narrative. So that if you ask A, well, tell me what's going on for you, they are going to tell you. And as they tell you from this space, they will describe all of the things and the information that lie within the problem domain, or that lie within, that prevent them from getting to that goal. If, however, we can find question sets that go to all the other information, in other words, let's think of this person as they have information here at A, but they also have this lots of lovely other information that lies outside of this particular A space, that if we ask that, they are going to get new kinds of knowledge because since this other information is at a distance from them, they do not know that here in this space. So that's the purpose of the types of questions we'll be learning, is how do we create out here a facilitation space that you can ask questions that keep you out there and that we can encourage this new information to come out and emerge into a solution domain rather than to be constrained within this problem domain. An interesting one right now. What we're going to do is look at this space of the facilitator, which is, what's your coaching space? Because you will also have an ABC type world where that world view of you as a coach is, and your model that's in your space is going to contribute to that special skill that you have and to your special calling for a coach. So in that sense then, you will be, as the name of this space, as the coach, the person you are coaching will be your B. And the question is, what is the landscape, the psychescape, that exists between you as the coach and the person you're coaching? Now, what's the difference between when you're coaching on the phone and when you're coaching face to face? They're probably two different spaces. So in this space here, we're likely to find, and you in the space of a coach, that is part of the source that you have, which makes you unique, and which is the strange attractor in which people want to be engaged in the process of you helping them. So after our break, I'd like you just to think a little bit about, if we call this space here, and you're doing the coaching, what would you name your coaching space as? And to distinguish between when you're doing phone coaching and when you're doing person-to-person. And then what would be the name of your B space, the coachee? So what's the name that you would give to that space? And then what's the distance in between that informs that? What's the information or the metaphor that exists there? So that way we're going to begin by finding out what's your coaching space when you're coaching, and when you are operating, what are all the things here in this coaching world then that actually help and you to facilitate that process that may be quite completely out of your awareness just from what you know here today. So we'll develop that after a little bit.